Hello everyone, this is Mike Quinsey connecting the light. My guest today is Andy Tomlinson. He is a psychotherapist, lecturer and author who has been referred to as one of Britain's leading practitioners in hypnotic past life regression. Also wanted to mention that he is the author of three books, which we will talk about a little later in the program, called Healing the Eternal Soul, Exploring the Eternal Soul, and his latest one, Transforming the Eternal Soul. Sounds as though he'll run out of titles very shortly. Welcome to the program, Andy.
Hi, Mike. Nice to be here.
Yes. Now, I think one of the most intriguing things there's got to be with guests into a subject like yours, which is terrifically interesting as far as I'm concerned, is sort of how you got into it. I mean, did you have experiences when, say, perhaps you were younger of this nature, or was it just something you were interested in and your profession sort of grew out of that?
Well, it really started after I'd just finished a four-year training in psychotherapy, which was very devoid of any sort of spiritual matter. Mm-hmm. It was mainly hypnosis and very traditional forms of psychotherapy. And a friend gave me this book about past lives, and I'd put it on the shelf, meaning to get round to read it. And I'm sure everybody ends up with these shelves of books that they always mean to look at. Anyway, one day I kept thinking about this book. So I pulled it down and started reading it. And it was an amazing book. And it was written by Roger Wilger, who's an amazing pioneer in this whole area. And I thought, wow, you know, when I did all my training, they never even mentioned past lives. And I got quite excited about it. I thought, well, but I wonder how I find out to get onto the training for something like this. And within a week, a little leaflet was put through my letterbox inviting me to a weekend past life workshop. And it was just down the road. And strangely enough, the person who was giving it was the author of the book that I'd just been reading. Well, this is before I knew about synchronicity. Right. And I went along to the event and enjoyed it enormously. Went on all of Roger's training, as well as other pioneers as well, and I work very, very closely now with Roger in this this whole area of past life therapy, particularly in the healing context.
Right. You say, obviously, it's used in a healing context, but do you use it in any other way where people just simply have an interest in past lives, or do you sort of stick to the therapy side?
Well, there's a lot of people who can take people into past lives, just slightly altered states. People can tune in. Often a lot of psychics get glimpses of past lives. Actually, finding out about past lives is remarkably easy. The skill is how you use that information to actually transform people's lives. And I think this is the area where I really focus on. So when people come to me or the students that I teach, they're looking for something just a little bit deeper than exploring a past life. They're looking for some way in which it can enhance the life and improve the quality of their current life.
Now, how do you think it happens that when you do your therapy and you regress someone, that they just happen to bring up the lives that relate to their problems?
Well, a lot of it really comes from the intention. All sorts of energy work requires an intention to be made, then energy will follow the intention. So in the case of a client coming in with a particular problem, if people were just purely to use past life work, then they would need to guide the client into an altered state of trance. you know, a nice level of relaxation where the conscious mind is less involved in the process, and then make the intention to go into a past life, and with some guided imagery, the past life is found for the client, comes through intuitively to the client, and then the story would be navigated, and the transformation takes place. Particularly, if the person is trained in the transformation area. I mean, the process that seems to occur is that when people die in a past life, then anything that's incomplete, any emotions that were never really resolved, or sometimes even pains that they had at the point of death, then these unresolved memories need to be resolved. The soul is on an eternal journey to experience and grow, and when something isn't complete, there's a need to continue. A little bit like someone going to school and failing an exam and wanting to resit it till eventually they can move on to the next class. And right. These unresolved memories are brought down. This was an area I did quite a lot of pioneering work with one of my books called Exploring the Eternal Soul, which takes people into very, very deep levels of trance and allows people to connect in with their memories between lives. And obviously, if people have a series of lives on a linear timeline, something has to occur between lives. And this was a wonderful area that was pioneered by Michael Newton. He spent 30 years of his life pioneering a number of techniques here. And I've really just continued that work. And the actual process where these unresolved memories are brought forward into the next life was detailed in that book through 15 different subjects that I work with on the their experiences.
Right. Now, it's interesting that you mentioned there that sometimes apparently people bring physical problems into their present life that have their roots in an earlier life. That sounds strange, yet I have heard that sometimes people also bear marks on their bodies, and I recall someone who was regressed, and where they had this mark, I think it was on their cheek, was where they had been shot in a previous life. And it seems most strange, doesn't it, that you can carry these things forward. Have you had a lot of experience of that?
Well, there's give you a couple of case studies just to illustrate that. With one client, she had an incredible pain in her arms, and this was happening at a time when the two children that she had were going through some difficulties in a separation process. She had this incredible pain down her arm, and it was so intense that it was diagnosed as one level higher than someone suffering from terminal cancer. This was going on for 24 hours a day. She couldn't pick things up, was wheelchair bound.
Gosh.
And we went into a past life, and she discovered that the source of this pain was when she was a young girl in an orphanage looking after the children, and there'd been a fire. And she tried to rescue some of the children, and in the process had burnt her arms. And because she hadn't been successful in rescuing them, felt this tremendous guilt and ended up committing suicide. So the guilt and the pain in her arm were linked. And in this life, when she was going through a process of feeling guilt about what was happening to her children in the divorce, this pain was recreated in her arm. And when she was able to go through and release those memories from the past life, the pain went from her arms, and she was able to stop being wheelchair bound and being an invalid, and now she has a fully active life, pain free from her arms. Another example is someone who had something called learnt helplessness, which in this life she had a history of being a victim, first of all to her father and mother who abused her. Then she got into a marriage, and in that relationship she was abused. And then she had a series of boyfriends, and she was always the victim. Mm-hmm. And it's a very difficult thing to work with because it's called learnt helplessness. People get so used to being the victim, to actually be able to reverse it is incredibly hard. So we took her to the source of this particular problem, and it turned out that she'd been a Victorian girl who'd been married a rich gentleman, and in Victorian times, women didn't have any money, didn't have any power, and because she'd been an orphan, she didn't have anybody to turn to, and she started to get beatings by this husband of hers, and eventually she was dragged down some stairs and left to die in a cellar, and she died with this feeling of hopelessness and pains all over her body. And it turned out that whenever the learnt helplessness had been occurring in her current life, she'd be getting pains all over her physical body. Doctors have examined her and they couldn't find any explanation for it. And, you know, like quite a lot of medical problems, it was put under a very general diagnosis. When this lady was able to work through the transformation part and bring the healing into her current life and stand up to her current boyfriend and say, treat me well or leave me, and that actually transformed her life. All of a sudden, instead of being the victim, she'd found a way of working through that. And she did it by working through the past life and clearing that. And that could be almost seen as a role model for her to take into her current life. A boyfriend actually left. And, you know, her life was transformed. So, you know, these are two examples of how unexplainable pain and emotions from unfinished business appear to be related to past lives. I mean, obviously, this isn't something that can be proved, but then from a healing perspective, a therapist aren't out there to prove or disprove anything. They just allow the stories to emerge from the client and the healing occurs, and the power of the therapy is purely in the healing.
Yeah, that's very interesting. I'm surprised, really, to hear what you have to say, in the sense that the reasoning behind some people's fears, which are related to previous lives, is probably not understood or even considered. For example, my wife has an absolute fear of walking across these, what you might call, rope bridges. A bridge like that is unstable, probably has gaps on the side. She went on holiday somewhere where there was a walkway like that, and she just couldn't do it. And I guess if the truth is known, someone like you would probably find that she fell off one in a previous life, hence her fear. But yes, carry on.
Yeah, I was just going to say that is a possibility, although, you know, we need to remember that sometimes emotions can be related to current life incidents. You know, it could very well be, you know, someone has a phobia of a spider. It could have been a childhood event that caused it. But then, you know, in your wife's case, if there's nothing ever that can be related to either a rope bridge, or maybe it's related to heights generally, then all of a sudden people need to just look a little bit further, and you may very well be right. A past life could very well be the thing that is the source of the problem that your wife has.
Yes. It's interesting that you mention people with fear of spiders, because that's pretty commonplace, isn't it? Particularly with women, for some reason.
Yeah, it is very, very common. I mean, there is a rational reason for that. I mean, you know, sometimes when children see spiders, you know, and their mother isn't there to comfort them, you know, a phobia can start quite easily from current life incidents. So, you know, there are often very rational explanations for these things. But when people start having phobias for things that are very unusual, I mean, I had one that had a phobia for hospitals or blood. Mm-hmm. And it turned out that in a past life, she'd had an abortion in a very poorly run hospital, and had died quite a horrible death. You know, so sometimes when there isn't a rational explanation and people just go a little bit further, often it makes so much sense if people look at it from a spiritual perspective of souls reincarnating many, many lifetimes to work through and to grow and develop as spiritual beings.
Yes. Now, it's interesting, you mentioned a short while ago about people's guilt that they carry forward with them, which reminds me of the case that I did read that you kindly gave me some details of, about Helen and her experience with the Quakers, because I recall she had a fear of water, but she also had a guilt feeling over her children. So, since I've mentioned it, you might like to just tell the story there.
Yeah, and this was quite an interesting one. And this actually provides a lot deeper depth of how this past life process works, because unexpected healings occur that wouldn't occur with traditional therapy. Let me explain what I mean by that. Mm-hmm. The particular client who came to me was quite well educated, and she had this very unusual concern that she had these thoughts, they're taking my children away. She used to get really, really angry at this, so angry that sometimes she would find it difficult to go into work. And you know, with this thought that they've taken away my children, you know, my first discussion was, say, well, you know, have you had any children in this life? She said, well, no, I haven't. That's what makes it quite strange. I've been for other sorts of therapy. And they say, well, just change the thought to something else. She said, well, I can't. You know, this is the strange thing. Why should I have this very irrational thought they're taking away my children? She was really, really precise about this.
Yeah.
And so the way I work when people have a very strong emotion like that is just to follow it through. And this story spontaneously emerged as she focused on this, these thoughts and this emotion of being a lady who'd been falsely accused of being a witch. She'd been tied on a plank. And this was in medieval England. And the punishment in those days when people had been accused as a witch was to find out if they were guilty. So they were tied on a plank or submerged under the water by other means, but in this case it was being tied to a plank and left under the water. And then eventually when she was brought out, if she was alive, that meant the water had rejected her. She was a witch and she would be burnt. If she was dead when she was brought up, that meant that the water had accepted her and they'd made a terrible mistake. So she knew she was going to die. And one of the things that often happens, and this is something that I only get an insight to because I listen to very many stories of people's past lives, when people are actually getting to the death point, there's almost like an acceptance. There isn't actually a fear of death. What the fear is around other sorts of issues. And in her case, she had two young children and was concerned who was going to look after them. There was no father. There was no relatives. And it was hard enough for families in that particular time period to look after their own children, let alone other children. So she died with this concern, this worry, and this was carried over into her current life. And by going into the memory and transforming it, then she was able to release this worrying thought. In fact, she said it only ever came up once afterwards. And when it did come up, she almost had a smile on her face when she said, I know where that came from, and just let it disappear.
Mm.
But one of the interesting things was, is that she said to me, you know, when I was young, my mother had tried to wash my hair by putting my head under the water, and I'd screen the house down, and it didn't make any sense because my other her brothers and sisters had their hair washed the same way. She says, now I understand. It was the actual act of having my head put under water was resonating with this past life. And she said, even something else. She said that she's always had a fear for men in authority. And once she'd finished this particular event where she'd been really wrongly accused by men in authority of being a witch, she found she was able to stand up to them in a meaningful way. You know, a phobia of water, of having a head put underwater, had gone. So even though she'd come in for one particular symptom, the past life had resolved two or three other problems that she had all in one go. And this isn't the sort of thing that you would normally expect if people were making stories up. But then as a therapist, you know, I'm always amazed just how powerful it can be in the healing process.
Mm. And I think the sad part in that story was that she was evidently accused of being a witch because she healed people with herbs.
Yeah, and unfortunately in medieval England, if anybody did anything different than the norm, you know, they were subjected to being separated out and treated differently. And, you know, strangely enough, in the UK, you know, the last person that was accused of being a witch was during the Second World War.
Yes.
So it's not many years ago. So, you know, opinions and views about people who are doing complementary therapies have changed enormously over the over this last 20 or 30 years, to the point where now people are searching out for this sort of treatment because they just really don't want to have pharmaceutical medication, the side effects that come from it. And often all it does is to reduce symptoms rather than eliminate them, particularly for things that have got a psychological cause.
Yes. I suppose there's not much point in people, say, coming to you for regression therapy if they have a lot of doubt about previous lives. But do you ever find that once you've given a particular, or got the details of a particular life, that they are very hesitant or refuse to believe it?
I mean, whether people choose to believe it or not is their choice. As long as their symptoms, the problem that they've come up with has been resolved, then that's what the session is there for. If people really want to start examining, and of course, even if you know, a client accepted it was a past life and then went to tell their friends, it doesn't provide any evidence that it was a past life, you know. I mean, I accept what people say. You know, if someone says, I've had a love experience, who's to say that they didn't have that? But then, of course, it wouldn't be proof to anyone else. But you would have to really go searching for the work with children who have spontaneous past lives and the amazing work of Ian Stevenson, who was a professor of parapsychology at the University of Virginia in the States. He spent 30, 40 years of his life, and he's got thousands of cases of children who at the age of 4 or 5, just as they were beginning to talk, came out with amazing information that he subsequently went on to investigate. And he took a very impartial view of the whole way through that, and it's all documented. And if people want to go looking for proof of reincarnation, then the work of Ian Stevenson would be a really good place to go to. But the approach I take is very much from a healing perspective. Right. But I think the thing I really wanted to add is that working with past lives is only a small part of the work I do in terms of helping people resolve their issues. I mean, it's certainly known in psychotherapy that regressing people to the source of the problem in the current life is an incredibly powerful way of healing. And particularly events happening in early childhood can have a profound effect. And this is why quite a lot of the work that I do may not necessarily just be past lives, but it could be going through and resolving current life events. You know, I'll give you an example. A client was a project manager, and he used to do amazing plans, but he found that whenever he stood in front of someone in authority and they said, look, do your project in half the time or something ridiculous like that, he wouldn't argue the case. He would just simply accept it. And of course, this caused quite a big problem for his bosses, because as a project manager, he was expected to manage very large projects and deliver them to the agreed timescales. And when he was regressed to in his current life, when he was quite young, it was about 4 or 5, he was in a family where his father was a lay preacher in one of these really loud mouth, booming, hell and damnation type preachers. And the little boy really looked up to his father. Anyway, one day the little boy was sat at the top of the stairs. His father was on the phone, and the conversation was going along the lines of, yes, I know I love you, and I'm going to leave as soon as I can. You just have to wait a few more weeks before I can join you. And this was to a family friend who the little boy knew. And obviously the little boy realized his father was about to leave home for his mistress. So he went upstairs and started crying. His mother went up there and said to him, you know, what are you crying about? He said, well, you know, Dad's leaving. He's going to go off with Auntie Ethel, you know, the name of this other person. So Mum said, Dad, come upstairs. You know, crossed her elbows, really stern looking. In comes, you know, the great big lay preacher there. And Mum says, tell him what you've just told me. So, you know, the little boy, wiping his tears away, told the story. And guess what his father said? His father said, no, I didn't. I didn't say that. So that little boy had to make a decision. He had to decide either that his dad was a big liar or that he had to deny the reality of what he believed. And, of course, it was a lot easier for him to deny his own reality. And even though he knew the truth, he had to accept what the man in authority had said. And, of course, all he was doing is reproducing this as a project manager. So whenever anybody in authority told him something different than what he believed, he was that little boy again having to accept what he'd been told. And, of course, it was only when he went into that memory of being that little boy and transforming it, and this is called inner child therapy, very, very powerful regression work, he was able to then go through and engage in life as a project manager in a meaningful way by standing up for things that were important for him.
How interesting. Now, one would assume that when people come to you with problems, they would be most likely to relate to their last life or one fairly recent. But in reality, have you found any that go back quite some time?
It really depends on what the objective of the session is. What I've tended to find, if the objective is to resolve an issue, then it tends to be the sort of past lives that may have been the last three or four or five where the issue hasn't been cleared for some reason or another. On the basis that we've probably all had, or certainly most of us have had, hundreds of lives before, the early ones will have been cleared. So quite often it tends to be slightly more recent lives that come through. Mm-hmm. Of course, someone can make the objective to go in and explore early lives where maybe there isn't an issue. In fact, you know, it may be worthwhile pointing out to the listeners that, you know, an amazing experience can be to go into a past life that's been a positive experience. You know, yes. For example, if someone's quite lonely in this life, they could go into a past life where they'd been in a lovely family situation. It can be a tremendous strength to be able to remember something positive like that. Occasionally people do go in and, you know, I've had people that have had lives where they've perhaps been crucified or, they've been in the Roman life where perhaps they've been thrown in the arena as a Christian and had quite difficult lives. But it doesn't come up very often. It generally tends to be more recent lives that come through.
Yes. Do you find people get a little bit of a shock when you say, for example, tell a man that what his problems are relates to a life when he was a woman?
Oh, well, it certainly does when a man goes into a past life and they happen to experience giving birth to a child. I mean, I think men who experience that have got a completely different experience of childbirth, particularly if the sensations of the childbirth are experienced. And of course, in the past, we've experienced everything. We've experienced being men and women. We've experienced being the perpetrator as well as the victim. You know, yes. In history, it's full of different sorts of lives. And we've had our share of all of them because that's our common heritage. And when people do go into utter lives, you know, sometimes they can be lives where there isn't anything traumatic happen, but it could be that they've been looking after children and one of them died and they felt guilt about it. So it's not quite as traumatic as perhaps, you know, the slightly more physical forms of death. And quite a lot of lives that people have are very, very simple peasant lives. But it may be that there's some unexplained or some emotion that wasn't resolved as a result of it, and this is what's been carried over.
Yes.
And now, very few people end up as lies when they're famous people. I mean, it's contrary to popular belief, it very, very rarely happens.
Right. Now, what have you learnt about the period between lives?
Yeah, this is a really good question, and we did mention that slightly earlier. Mm. The whole history of this is that working with past lives is something that's been happening over the last 30 or even 40 years. Maurice Netherton was one of the early pioneers in this area, and quite a lot of hypnotherapists were working with past lives around about 20 years or so ago, and one or two of them gave imprecise commands. And of course, when people are navigating past lives, the therapist will never tell the client what to do. They just simply ask questions. But they asked an inappropriate question and suddenly started to find information that wasn't consistent with the past life. And it eventually emerged that some of the clients who had spontaneously gone into quite deep trance had actually gone into their soul memories between the end of one life and the beginning of the next. And this is called life between life regression. And several quite eminent professionals psychiatrists, clinical psychologists, and a psychotherapist, all at the same time discovered this. And one or two of them wrote books about it in the early days, but it didn't really get to public attention until Michael Newton, who'd spent 20 years of his life researching this area, produced a wonderful book called Journey of Souls. And in this, he, and through his research, he provided the full story of all the events that happen between the between those cell memories that occurred. And he also was inspirational in training other therapists to do this sort of work, so that now there's over 10,000 people worldwide that have had this type of experience by many therapists in just about all the cultures of the world. So in some ways, this is probably one of the largest pieces of spiritual research that's ever taken place, because a lot of these memories between lives have parts of the process that are very consistent. You know, the details may vary, but the type of process that they go through, the major type of events that happen, are remarkably consistent.
Hmm. Why do you think that in normal life, without being regressed, that we have such a limited memory, if at all, of previous lives?
Well, again, this is one of the things that comes out through this research about the cell memories between lives. And it's for the simple reason that if we're born knowing the unconditional bliss that we've come from, and we're born into a world with all of the undesirable things that we know exist on the earth here, they'll be very homesick and wanting to go back. The other reason is that it could very well be that the last past life that had been lived had been one that really wouldn't be suitable for a young child to immediately be aware of, because they're not necessarily able to fully understand and integrate the experience. And sometimes when people are working through similar type of events to the ones that were never resolved in the past, then it's a lot easier to start with a clean slate rather than all of the memories that existed before. So there is a process of memory loss that of what happens between lives and also of past lives that starts around about the birth point. And for most people, it's quite quick. And for some children, it starts to become complete in their 5 or 6 year old, that sort of age, which accounts why some of the children are able to tune into these lives a lot easier than adults do. But that's the reason why this process works. It just makes the life experience so much more meaningful.
Yes. Now, what is your feeling about these other methods for going back into past lives, say, such as a form of meditation? I mean, do you think it works, or is it advisable?
Well, there are people who provide CDs, and they suggest people can go into lives and experience it. I think it's really down to everybody to make a decision about whether they feel drawn to that or not. To some level, just touching on a past life may be quite helpful for a person. It may be of interest to them. It may inspire them to go off and do more work. It's unlikely to be of any sort of healing experience if they do that. There is a small risk that they could go into a life which brings up some emotions, and if there isn't someone there to help guide them through them and make sure it's fully transformed, there would be in a bit of discomfort until those emotions went through and settled. I mean, they certainly wouldn't be harmed in any way. So maybe for the curious, they're helpful, but I would certainly recommend if people really want to take this seriously, they go to people that, you know, are professionally trained so that they can handle any type of situation and ensure clients come out there with a meaningful experience. I mean, you know, a lovely example could be surgeons, for example. You know, if someone wanted an operation, you know, they would want to go to someone who'd had professional training before they had an operation, perhaps for a brain tumor. You wouldn't want to go to someone who says, look, here's a do-it-yourself book and a scalpel, perhaps do it yourself.
Right.
You know, and in the same way, our soul is just as important as our brain. So I would really suggest that people, if they really want to transform their lives, go to someone who can be the equivalent of the brain surgeon and help them have a transformational experience.
Mm. Now, it's quite clear that you are obviously able to express yourself on a higher spiritual level, and I base that on the titles of your books. So tell us briefly what the purpose of your books are and what they're based on.
Okay, well, the first book that I wrote, called Healing the Eternal Soul, was written for two things. It was written to record a lot of the techniques that I use and I teach in my training courses, but it was also meant to be an easy read for the spiritual reader. And it's quite useful to be positioned like that because I often teach in countries where English isn't the first language, so it makes mm-hmm. the book a lot easier to read the way that I've presented it. And that includes information about past lives, about the between life at work, and also about how body therapy can be used. So this is an incredibly powerful way to release very deep set trauma that can come from post-traumatic stress or quite difficult situations, and how energies can be cleared from people. So it's quite a comprehensive book, and it tends to be used also as a manual for students on my training to read. The second book that I wrote is called Exploring the Eternal Soul, and this covers purely the life between life experience, and it goes into great detail of the way which souls go through healing to raise their vibrations before they then review their lives and then go into a process of planning the next life. And that's quite fascinating, the options souls have when they're going through this planning process, the help they get from evolved spirits. And I'd perhaps need to say, anybody who isn't too familiar with this sort of work, is one of the wonderful things that souls experience in this path is that there's no judgment. Souls are accepted for what they are, but the more evolved souls just offer advice and help, a little bit like football coaches may offer advice to players, so that the next life is going to be a more meaningful one. Yeah. And people who experience these life between life regressions, they find out really why they're here, why this life, why these life lessons. And they often get motivated to work through them and perhaps undertake some spiritual activities which has been planned for them in their current life. So the book Exploring the Eternal Soul really covers these experiences, and it also draws on all of the other pioneers. So I deliberately wanted this to be not only a very readable book, but also to show how all of the pioneers who worked in this area, who worked quite separately, actually collectively have provided an enormous basis of scientific research in this sort of experience. And the third book that, and on this one I'm only the editor and not the the author, is for a number of the graduates for my training who are really highly experienced therapists in their own right. I've developed quite a number of different techniques, and it was to give them the opportunity to document these techniques, and each one has a chapter on a different theme. One of them, for example, is a medical doctor in Singapore who uses regression therapy routinely in the hospital for clients who don't respond to traditional medicine, and he outlines some of the physical conditions that his clients have had that he's used regression therapy for. And there's a range of other topics, such as inner child regression, techniques to help empower clients, techniques to integrate the session in a meaningful way for clients, how crystals, for example, can be used in the healing process. So it's probably slightly more targeted for therapists, not necessarily regression therapists. I think any competent therapist could read through the book and select out things that they could build into their practice.
Right. While you're talking about your books, you might confirm if they're available from your website and give your website address.
Okay, well, that's very nice of you to remind me about that. They can all be ordered on Amazon or any other internet company. If you want to read an overview of them, my website is www.regressionacademy.com. And anybody wants to find out more about it and they go onto Amazon, just type in any of the titles. There is the Look Inside the Book scheme on Amazon, so they can flick through some pages and find out more about it or read some of the comments that people have written about the books in there.
Right. Now, you've informed me that you're also... you also run training programs internationally, and that is for the introduction of regression therapy training. Now, I gather that you are in the US next year. Would you like to tell people in advance a little bit about that?
Yeah, this is a really exciting program. There's an amazing place in Santa Barbara that I'll be starting the regression training in, starting in April. And this is a year program. Although the work does cover past lives, this work is a lot deeper, as far as I'm aware, than any other form of regression therapy that's been offered in America at the moment. It goes into some of the inner child regression techniques that I've been talking about before. It goes into body therapy. It goes into working with energies and clearing disconnect energies like spirit attachments from a client. The students who come on these training courses find that they have an amazing healing experience themselves, as well as learning the skills in doing this work. And there's quite a lot of testimonials on the website that people can read about if they want to find out more about it. So if anybody is interested, they need to have a qualification in hypnosis, but it only really needs to be a very, very basic hypnosis. As long as they're in the healing profession or they've got a background where they develop skills of working with clients, could be through counseling or other types of thing in that area, and this sort of work resonates for them, then I would say come to the training. Read my book, particularly Healing the Eternal Soul, find out more about it. Look on the website that I have. There's some videos down there, how I work. And be part of this amazing training. It's a lovely place where the training's taking place, a lovely energy spot. It's a residential setting, so people can just go there, get really absorbed in the learning and the personal transformational work, and just be in a lovely energy setting.
Right, that's wonderful. Now, we're rapidly coming to the end of the programme. We're not quite there. Is there any sort of message or anything you would like to add to what we've been speaking about?
Yeah, I think really the thing I would like to add is a lot of people often may have an interest either in the therapy or perhaps even being trained, but they may think to themselves, yeah, what will other people think? Or, you know, is this the sort of thing where, you know, will I be able to earn a living with doing this sort of work? And what I would say to them is this sort of work is the psychiatry of tomorrow. You know, the psychiatry of today, of working with mental health problems, is either traditional psychotherapy, which often can be very, very long, taking very many years, or it can be the psychiatry-based treatment with drugs, which just simply reduces some of the symptoms, and often in cases where there's no medical cause for it in the first place, where this sort of work, by going to the source issue, can be transformed in often just a few sessions, or in some cases, 3 or 4 sessions. So this is extremely powerful therapy that works really quickly. And more people are getting to the point of accepting this sort of work. 2012, that a lot of people talk about, isn't going to be the sudden end of the world. It's a change of consciousness. It's a change of consciousness where people will have a different view of things than they've had in the past. A change of consciousness where they realize that the spiritual part of us need to be engaged in the healing process, where we can do things in a completely different way than we've done in the past. And they'll be the pioneers in bringing about this change. We're getting to the point where there's a tipping point where the majority view very shortly is going to be working with these sort of therapies in the healing process. And I'll just leave you with one last thought of why it's already happening.
Right.
One of my graduates who I mentioned before, who's one of the leading surgeons in a hospital in Singapore, and he still works there, has just written a book that I helped publish for him called Healing Deep Hurt Within. And he details the most amazing healing that he had with one of the staff from the hospital who had a very, very deep trauma. They became suicidal and were having blackouts. And how he used regression therapy, a past life work, to resolve that. And he's written this book, and it's aimed for medical doctors as well as the general public alike. Now, and I know very many other doctors where using these sort of therapies in medicine is becoming mainstream in India, in Brazil, and even in Portugal. This is starting to happen more and more. Medical doctors are starting to be trained in these procedures. And we're in a very exciting part where the way that we look at health is being transformed. So if people feel excited about this, want to be part of it, then join me and become part of the training that I'm doing.
Thank you. That's wonderful. And I must say that was a very nice spiritual message that you put forward. And I'm in total agreement with you about the levels of consciousness rising in this coming year. So thank you very much for coming onto the program, Andy.
Thank you for allowing me to be here.
Thank you very much. Right, friends, so again, yet another very interesting guest with a good story to tell there. Next week, my guest will be Lou Soma. It's a name that might be familiar to you because he is a popular guest on my program. He will be coming back for the third time. He's an author and lecturer, and he wants to talk about the Palladian model of relationships and the 11-11-11 date. You might recall him from the last program when we discussed his book called Full Moon Messages from the Pleiadians. So, again, should be a very interesting program. Thank you for being with me today, and I do hope you can make it next week. God bless you all. Thank you.